Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Back to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the creator of the Liberty Conspiracy, and I really appreciate all the positive words that we've gotten from listeners. It's great to hear from you. You can always contact me at Gard Goldsmith on Twitter. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith on Twitter. This hour on Free Talk Live, Liberty Conspiracy brings you conversations in part, not the entire conversations, because we only have 1 hour left of the show. But I wanted to let you know about some very, very interesting people. One of these folks, listeners might have heard before, that is, of course, Eric Peters of Eric Peters Autos, who is fighting for freedom and, in particular, trying to warn people about government regulations, so-called the threats against people who want to buy cars and people who want to make cars, and, of course, the canards of the climate cult and all those things. So Eric Peters Autos is the website for that. Just go to ericpetersautos.com. And, of course, you can follow him as Libertarian Car G on Twitter /X. Then I want to introduce you to Audi from Modern Retro Radio. He is absolutely fascinating, and I hope you will check out his website as well. It is a lot of fun. I think you're going to really have a great time every time you go there and see all the amazing material that he puts out there. That's modernretrofm.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. And again, thanks for supporting freedom.
Them at this all the time.
Yeah.
They are looking to confuse and mislead people. Another really good example. I have been for the past week driving the 24 Ford Lightning EV.
Yes.
And like a lot of EVs,
your video on that was superb, by the way.
Well, it has a on the display panel, one of the menus you can pull up is where did my energy go? You know, and it shows you a little battery icon. And I glanced down at it the other day, and it said 53% charge remaining. I thought, oh, that's pretty good, because, you know, automatically when you hear 53%, you think half full, right?
Yeah, so
in your mind, you translate that to gas engine terms, and you think you've got half a tank of gas, which would typically mean I can drive for, like, the next day if I want to, you know, and I don't have to really think about getting gas right away. But 53% charge in this Lightning is only about 100 miles.
Now, what's really cool, and do you mind if I show the audience this video of you? So while you were in the Ford 150 Lightning doing the testing and, you know, giving it a good run, you had your camera with you, and I love what you did. And then do you want to give the details about what you discovered before I show the video or after I show the video, those little details that the audience might appreciate about, you know, the sitting around part and, you know, the maintenance of the heat for the engine and things like that. Do you want to talk about that, or do you want to just go into
the
video?
You know, the display that we're going to watch will show you how much of the charge in the battery is devoted to actually moving the vehicle, which, as it turns out, is only 60% of the charge. The 40% of the charge in the battery goes to powering the accessories, goes to powering something called the thermal management system, which is basically the heating and air conditioning system for the battery to keep it within a certain temperature range, which is necessary to prevent it from being damaged and to make it so that it's able to be charged. All of these parasitic power losses, because, again, everything in an EV is electrically powered, so the sum of it is, you know, you're actually got considerably less range than is advertised because of the draw of all of these additional peripheral things that aren't even involved in the actual propulsion, the moving of the vehicle.
Right. So, and in addition to the battery draining, if it's just sitting there not being used and it's just being left there, the battery can't retain that charge. So as you and I discussed, that was one of the first things I learned from you. While these things are sitting out there in the lot at all these different dealerships, and the dealers are saying, please don't send us any more, no more, as Aerosmith would say. Now you've got an additional thing. So I thought, okay, they've got to charge them up. That's an expense. Now, as you point out here, I discovered that, and it only makes sense, they have to keep the batteries at a certain temperature one way or the other, especially in cold weather, because that'll really drain the battery out. So they need to utilize a certain amount of power to keep it hot for a certain period. And then, of course, you do a great job comparing the practicality of having a heater for an internal combustion engine car that utilizes the thermal energy that's being created by the engine. You just blow the air at yourself, and you got warmth.
Right now, I've got a zero emissions vehicle parked in my garage. My 1976 Trans Am is a zero emissions vehicle when it's not being driven, because it's off. It's not burning any gas. It's not emitting any gas.
Right.
But an electric car is constantly burning electricity, even when you're not driving it. So where does the electricity come from? It doesn't come from that little plug in the wall. It comes from a utility plant somewhere.
Right. And
most of the utility plants are burning some form of hydrocarbon fuel. And so they're producing CO2. So much for the zero emissions vehicle thing, if you buy into that shibboleth. But enough of that. Let's watch the video.
All right. Here we go. Check this out, everybody. And drop your comments. Feel free, everyone. Oh, this is the photograph. I have to scroll down a little bit. Sorry about that, Eric. I forgot about that last time I was watching. Here we go. Yeah, here we go. And there might be an ad.
Hey, this is the last hoodie you're ever going to need to buy.
Bearskin tactical hoodie.
Bearskin. Eric.
I'll just joke around. Little do people know that you and I secretly work for Bearskin. And every time
I go to
one of these videos, like, hey, dude, I made another penny. No, just kidding. Just kidding. All right, here we go.
Bearskin hoodie.
What makes it a tactical hoodie?
Hey, everybody. It's Eric from EPAutos.com, your libertarian car guy. I thought it might be interesting to show what you're looking at right now, which is where did my energy go this trip? And again, this is from the display panel inside the 2024 Ford Lightning. And as you can see, it says 20% climate use, 10% accessories, 10% exterior temperature, 60% driving. So if I'm reading this correctly, 40% of the battery's charge was used to power things other than moving the vehicle, which is very interesting in that you can consider that a 40% reduction in your potential range from external factors that have nothing to do with moving the car. And it's interesting to contrast this with a gas engine car because, for example, the air conditioning uses power in a gas engine car, but the heat actually costs you nothing other than, you know, what it normally costs to fuel the car, because the heat in a combustion engine car is a free byproduct of running the car. In other words, you're not going to get worse gas mileage by using the heater. So you don't have that loss. And the other thing you don't lose is to the exterior temperature. What does that mean? I think if I'm decrypting this right, the reference there is to the vehicle's thermal management system, the electric vehicle's thermal management system, which is the system that keeps the battery at within certain parameters of temperature, not too cold and not too hot. You can think of it as an air conditioning heating unit for the battery, because that's effectively what it is. And it's always on. Because it's necessary to make sure the battery doesn't get too cold or too hot in order for it to be capable of charging efficiently and also to avoid damaging it. So that's a power draw that's always on in an electric vehicle with a thermal management system. And that's something else that you do not have in a non-electric vehicle. When you shut the non-electric vehicle off, its engine, when you turn it off, the car is off. It's not burning any energy just from sitting there. But electric vehicles do. And that's why, per my earlier video on this subject, when you park an electric vehicle and leave it for the night, you might be wondering why the next day when you go to drive it, it's got less range than it had when you parked it. And there you go. The reason for that is if it got too cold outside, the thermal management system had to draw power from the battery in order to keep the battery warm. And even if you keep the thing plugged in, you might have lost energy, or you might not have gained as much as you might have hoped that you would from the charge. So just really interesting. I thought that I would show this display so people who've never been inside an EV might get a window inside to the actual operating parameters of them and the things that you need to keep track of while you're driving. You know, so it's not the picture that's presented to people about how EVs are so very efficient, because in some ways they really aren't. If you think about 40%, according to this chart, of the energy that you put into the vehicle being consumed doing something else other than propelling the vehicle. Very interesting, I think. Anyway, more up at epautos.com, the web's best libertarian gearhead site. We'll have more for you again soon.
Great stuff, Eric. Good job. We're just going to stop to put the cancel thing on that to get the replay done. Eric, I just, when I saw that, you know, you texted me over the thing and I clicked on that, and it just, first of all, I just love the way that you went about it. And all I could think of was, you know, normalcy bias. And I imagined this dystopian future where people forgot about how simple and efficient and low cost internal combustion engines were. And everybody was operating on these electric things. And that was their only measure of comparison. It's like, oh, well, you know, there's a new car, which, you know, they've been able to get this on the electric side to do this and that. And that would be the only area where they discuss where they're getting their savings. And all that wonderful world would be forgotten. But I do think there's hope. You know, as we discussed last time, there does seem to be some hope. More and more of these stories coming out where people are saying, this is utterly ridiculous, and the expense is way more. And then even if people want to buy into their carbon nonsense, if they just think it through, they'll realize that the best bang for their buck is coming from the internal combustion engine car.
Absolutely. You know, I hope that they push this too hard, too fast. And as you say, people are beginning to become wise to what's going on. And particularly with regard to the etymology, you know, another way that they're trying to manipulate people is by constantly using this word fast to describe something that is not fast. I don't know about you, but, you know, I think that having to sit at some charging station for a half hour, 45 minutes or an hour, as compared to the less than 5 minutes it takes to fully fuel my vehicle, isn't very fast.
No.
But they want people to use that term because psychologically, oh, fast, that sounds good, right?
Right, right,
and
exactly.
And it can condition people to thinking that that's normal, particularly people who, you know, as you said, who may not have experienced, oh, I can just go to the pump and fill my car up and be out of here in, you know, literally 3 minutes, less sometimes.
Right.
You know, people who haven't had that experience, like the kids who are just coming up now, let's say, and the only thing that they'll ever have access to is an electric car where you have to sit at a commercial fast charger for a half hour, 45 minutes, assuming nobody's ahead of you, and you have to wait for them to finish before you get your chance to put power into your electric car. They'll think that's perfectly normal. Just like, you know, people who've grown up since 9/11 think it's perfectly normal to have to be processed like an inmate at a federal prison in order to board an airplane.
Absolutely. The idea that the government can prevent you from flying even though you've never been convicted of any crime and you're out of jail and never been put in jail. And it goes back to the whole idea of kids growing up in the back seat. They don't know why they're in the back seat as little kids. They don't know that it's a whole series of government foul-ups and government-created death that goes back to Liddy Dole and even further than that to the very concept of politicians telling people this is the car that you can produce and this is the kind of car you can buy. Yeah. Eric, there, you have a lot of just amazing pieces. And by the way, I highly recommend that people listen to the you also have the clip from the Brian Hyde show that you were on the 5th, day before yesterday. And that was great. And go to ericpetersautos.com, everybody. Eric, when you left last time, I had a great comment in the chat, and I didn't get to share it with you. Mm-hmm. One of the Rumble chatters mentioned that they think you're one of their favorite guests.
Oh,
so,
I'm honored. Thank you. That's really kind to hear. Very nice to hear.
That's good stuff. In fact, I'm going to check in with the chats in just a minute. Now that I mentioned it, I won't forget. But I do want to mention, Eric, you know, I was reporting over the weekend about the COP28 idiocy and the snow that they had in Europe and all these different types of things. And some great people like Tony Heller and Mark Morano have been posting the manipulation of the climate data, the way that they've eliminated certain data sets and certain temperature readers. And they're even making stuff up and for Florida temperatures where there aren't even any readers now. Tony Heller just put that out. Mm-hmm. He's like, literally, these reading stations don't even exist. And he's saying, look, they're claiming they've got data from them. It's so fraudulent, but it's also incredibly, it exposes government aggression hidden within the so-called government protection, right? So these canards of the virus and, you know, climate cultists coming out with their arguments. So let's turn to Europe if we can. And I know you've got so much more stuff. You've got a great report on the F-150 Lightning. People can read that. The information about the Fiat thing, I didn't even know. I think it was in there where you mentioned the smart car. Was that actually made by Mercedes? Did I read that right?
Yeah.
I had no idea. That was the craziest thing. Like Mercedes-Benz, you know, always seen as this elite kind of car. And they're making the smart car. I was like, wow.
Well, it was. That thing also cost about $35,000 when it was still available. You know, it was designed for Europe. You know, Europe is not America. And Europe has really densely packed cities with very narrow streets and not much parking. So in that context, a car like that makes a lot of sense. You know, it's kind of like having a moped, except it's covered and enclosed, so, you know, you don't get wet when it rains and you can carry a few things. It's idiotic in this country, and that's why they weren't able to sell it here.
I remember Red Dwarf totally made fun of that, and because, you know, it's impossible to fit in if you're over 6 feet tall. And a couple of the characters are pretty tall guys in that show. So let me head over to the story from the other day. About the no cash for your clunker. And I know we discussed this a little bit, but I want to hit this again because it's so important. December 5th, it's the end-of-life vehicles regulation. Now, this originally I thought was isolated, and I brought this up even before I knew I was going to talk to you. I brought this up when you put this story out because I wanted to let people know to go to your site. And so I've already covered this just a little bit. I just thought this was isolated to Sweden. Mm-hmm. But there's much more to this from the entire EU, right, Eric?
Yeah, this is an EU-wide edict, and essentially it's the other arm of the pincer. The first arm is to push off of the new vehicle market anything that isn't a battery-powered car. That's the first arm. But the second arm is to make it impossible for people to continue to possess vehicles that aren't electric. And one of the ways that they are going to do this, I think, and they're already doing it in the EU, is to characterize any car that's not electric as a clunker. You know, they love to use this language to make people think that you're talking about some smoke-spewing rattle trap that can barely get underway under its own power, when in fact all they're talking about are operable vehicles that aren't electric. And what they're going to do is subject them to increasingly stringent inspection standards. And if the car doesn't pass the inspection standard, then it's considered waste, and it's subject to seizure and scrappage. So, you know, in this country back during the Obama years, in the early 2000s, it was voluntary, and the government was paying people money, excuse the cat, paying people money, to give up their older car, which would then be destroyed. But nobody was forced to participate in that program. Right. And people did at least get some money from the government. Not that that's necessarily a good thing, but anyway. Now they're just going to take off the mask completely and say, you know, we're going to take your car and that's it. And then your option will be to buy a battery powered device. That's what I call electric cars because that's what they are, or walk. And, you know, that's the end goal. And again, this isn't some kind of like a paranoid conspiracy theory. This is in their own words. They come out publicly and said it's necessary to essentially end private car ownership for the vast majority of people because of the climate crisis.
Right. And let's, if we can, Eric, let's remind, especially if they're like teenagers or anything like that, they haven't seen some of this history, remind people of maybe a couple of the pinchers, and you mentioned sort of this sort of thing, or a couple of the layers historically in which they do this thing. So I have a coloring of this, and you can provide what you've written. My approach would be to just sort of lay out a couple of the historical precedents that are behind a lot of these things that people need to question that have brought these things around, that have, you know, the camel's nose under the tent sort of thing. So first, we've got government running the roads. We often talk about that with you. The assumption that the government, only the government can do it, only the government can create access between point A and point B for people. And of course, the logic of that is absurd. That means, well, am I too stupid to get my car from the road to my garage? Will the government have to do that? Obviously, it's ridiculous and it's ahistorical. It doesn't go with American history, clearly. We know that private roads are run in ways that cater to the consumers. They handle their liabilities better, just like parking lots. They're better managed in the wintertime. They handle those things well because they want to attract customers. And even for people who might not have the money to invest in getting into some private roadway, businesses have an incentive to get you access to their places. That's why they have air conditioning. That's why they have parking lots. That's why they work so hard to make sure that you have a pleasant experience getting to their place and getting into their place.
Absolutely.
So there's that. Then there's the assumption that they can regulate trade that goes over state borders. That is unconstitutional on their level because, as James Madison explained, the Interstate Commerce Clause, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution includes that, was only designed to stop states from imposing tariffs on each other. It was supposed to be remedial, not preventive, not a priori, saying, you as a person, you're sending something over state borders. We can get in your way of free association, and we can force you to do it our way, which is, you know, utter fascism, right? Then we've got so he said it's not supposed to be done beforehand, it's supposed to be after the fact if states are imposing tariffs on each other. Then we have the whole idea of the government funding roads, whether it be through the interstate highway system, which they did as a so-called defensive measure, which is utterly absurd, because even if they could do that, again, on a constitutional level, there's not supposed to be a standing army. You can only do that sort of thing if you are declared war against somebody. And the same thing goes for trying to develop some fight against some virus that a nation state might have come up with. You have to declare war. Not supposed to have a standing army. The militias are called up. They're supposed to be under the control of the governors until there's a declaration of war. Then you've got the CAFE standards and the ideas that we can control the products that go over state borders. And we can control these roads. Localities and states claim the powers to do the roads. The federal government then funds the states. So it becomes this interlocking system. And then you get corporations that they know they're going to be victims. So what's the best thing for them to do? Try to game the system. Try to do something that allows them to get away with something, that allows them to hurt their competition or get some money from the government, like Solyndra or like Proterra or like any of these other EV car manufacturers or battery manufacturers. And even some of these people like Ford or GM, they're like, oh, we'll get in on the act. Or Volkswagen, they get slammed by the federal government because of their diesel vehicles. And they say, oh, okay, we'll kowtow. Okay, you know, it's like, okay, Biff, you know, like Marty McFly. All right, Biff, you know. So that's my view on this. When we look at all these pushes, and then we've got the incentivization of eliminating useful things like clunker cars that aren't clunkers. They're just old cars, as you say. So we've got a regulatory schema of assumptive, aggressive elitists, and we have them incentivizing dumb behavior, like people giving up their used cars, and corporations investing in really dumb ideas. Listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. There's plenty more coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Hunter Biden is facing 9 criminal charges in a federal tax case, with prosecutors alleging the president's son led a lavish lifestyle while neglecting to pay a minimum of $1.4 million in federal taxes. He faces 17 years in prison if convicted. The White House touting the success of Bidenomics following the latest jobs report, which reveals the creation of 199,000 jobs last month.
President Biden is delivering on his vision to invest in America and win the global competition for the 21st century.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Friday that unemployment has remained under 4% for an uninterrupted 22-month period, marking the longest stretch in 54 years. At the age of 82, actor Ryan O'Neal has passed away. The star of Love Story and Peyton Place died Friday afternoon. His son Patrick confirmed the news, saying he passed away peacefully. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Back to Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, continuing our conversations about freedom in so many different facets. You can find Liberty Conspiracy online Monday through Friday, starting at 6 o'clock Eastern Time on Rumble and Rockfin. You can join the chat there, or you can listen and watch at my Twitter feed, which is at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. And, of course, you can always find the show after the fact at Rockfin and at Rumble. And I really hope that you like what you're hearing and that you'll find us over there and join us live or after the fact. I wanted to show you a super cool website. It's great when you're doing work, and it's great when you want to find out new information about new releases from great musicians, and you might not be able to get it from the regular radio stations that you hear. Or, you know, you're so busy, you say to yourself, oh, geez, I didn't check in. I follow these guys on Twitter. What's the word with these, with this band, that sort of thing? Well, I want to tell you about Modern Retro Radio. You probably have heard about it if you, you know, watch David Knight, or if you watch Knights of the Storm. One of the great people behind it
is the great, great guy behind it, is a guy who knows so much about music, he could probably write a book about it. He is Audi, the founder of Modern Retro Radio, and you can find it at modernretrofm.com. And you can see right up here, we got Pat Benatar. Awesome stuff. There's Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo. And our guest right now is with us. He is Audi. Welcome to the program and the Mind Meld, Audi. Oh, man, you are the founder and you are a savior in a way. Thanks for joining us. Do you want me to mention your full name, Audi? Just call you Audi, or what do you think, man?
You can call me Audi, but, you know, I know you know my real name, but Audi is just a variation of my real name. So I'm kind of known as Audi. Yes, sir. Hi, my friend.
Great to see you, man. Welcome to the show for the first time in the official capacity.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you've been in the audience and stuff. How's the night going, man?
Wonderful. I've had my dinner. I had a steak and mushroom risotto. Drinking hot tea and lemon and honey now.
Yeah, you're looking smooth there, man. I like the look. It's very relaxed. You got your guitar.
Oh,
nice.
We did name that tune the other week. Name this tune. I'll just play a little bit. All right.
All right. Oh, man. That's Layla.
Yep.
Yeah.
It sounds better if it were tuned, you know.
It sounds great to me, man. It sounds great to me. So, Audi, I want to give you the word. You know, I mentioned that I would discuss this a little bit, and I want to show people just real quick. So last night for Christmas, I got tickets for my brother, my sister, my niece, and me to go see Andrea Bocelli play at the Boston Garden. His son, of course, wonderful vocalist, great, great musician, and his daughter, I think she's like 13 or 14, wonderful voice. His wife has a great voice. So we went down to the Boston Garden to see Andrea Bocelli. We got dinner beforehand, had a great, great time. And it got to be about a half hour after the starting time for the show. And I was asking people, they have a special thing where, in fact, I'm going to hold this up to the audience. Andrea Bocelli owns vineyards, everybody. And if you're interested, you can check it out. I think he gives away most of the profits to charity. And it's a wonderful spot, you know, in Italy. I don't even drink wine. I don't drink hardly ever, but I did sample the white and the red wine, and it was amazing. I don't even like wine. It was amazingly good. It was the best wine I've ever had. But unfortunately, I got to say, Audi, and it got me thinking about stuff. I told this to Charlie in an email last night around midnight when I got back because he couldn't perform. It got to be about a half hour after the show, and a woman came out in blue jeans and a colorful blouse. And it was his wife, and she had a microphone, and they still had the house lights up and everything. And we were all having a lot of fun. Everybody was chatting and having a great time. And she had a piece of paper, and I said, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You can't perform. And she said, you know, I'm Andrea's wife. And she said, I'm really sorry. I'm trying to hold my voice here. I'm going to cry. And she said, we have been here this afternoon preparing for the show. We did the sound checks. And he has been struggling because he's been under the weather. And the implication was, you know, sort of a chest cold or flu or something.
And he's an operatic type singer, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and Machine Tegera. And, you know, just amazing. Time to Say Goodbye with Sarah Brightman, one of his biggest things.
Yeah.
And she's like, time to say goodbye. So she said we waited and we said we can't wait anymore. He was hoping that he might feel like he could perform in the way that he wanted to perform for you, that you deserve. And he just is not going to be able to do it. And while she was speaking, you know, he's blind, obviously, and
I did not know that.
Oh, sure, yeah. He wasn't blind all his life. I think he got blinded in a riding accident, and he was studying to be a lawyer, or he was becoming a lawyer, very active, you know, that sort of thing. And he lost his eyesight. It was either that or like a motorcycle, a bicycle crash. And, you know, he had to adjust his life. I think he sang, but he wasn't a professional singer, I think, until after he became blind. And then, you know, became just an amazing one of the three tenors and, you know.
Yeah, okay. I've heard him and Placido Domingo.
And Luciano Pavarotti. And, they're just amazing, you know. And he was the sort of younger of the guys. It was Luciano and Placido and then this younger upstart. And he was just amazing. People were blown away by the guy, along with doing, you know, great interpretations of pop songs and his Christmas concerts. I've gone to two so far, and they're just incredible. They're incredible. He does a version of Alleluia by Leonard Cohen. He and his daughter do it, and there's not a dry eye in the house. I'm thinking about it now. It's incredible. It's incredible. So and it's always beautifully decked out, and it's just wonderful. And we looked over and you could see he was coming to the stairs for the big, you know, dais, the platform on which they had it all set up for the orchestra. And,
you got a glimpse of him.
You could see his hand on the staircase. And she looked over, she goes, oh, and she heard him. She says, oh, she goes, he wants to come up. So she walked over to the stairs and, you know, the way they do it, he came up the stairs and he took her by the arm and he came out and she gave him the microphone and he was unbelievably apologetic. And, of course, what entered my mind was the jab. And I thought, you know, you can't help but think about these things. The guy's, you know, maybe 64, something like that. I don't know.
So was it an energy thing or he just didn't have the voice?
He didn't have the voice. I think he had a cold or the flu or something. I was just hoping that that's all it was, you know.
Yeah.
We'll find out more details. They just postponed it. They didn't cancel it. But it makes you think, Audi, of all these different bands, all these musicians. You know, I mentioned to you in our communications that was one of the things that I wanted to bring up tonight, and in addition to the positives. But, you know, you're a guy who's supported freedom a lot.
Yep.
And you're always there to back things up. You have a sentimental inclination towards freedom. You have the rock and roll behind you. You love the beauty of rock and roll, the creative work of these musicians, the freedom of travel. And that was one of the things I wanted to mention to you. I thought about him when the jabs were first being rolled out. You remember he did that video a long time ago where he entered a cathedral. I don't remember which cathedral it was. He was all alone. And he walked blind into the cathedral himself.
Yeah.
He counted the steps so he could get into the cathedral himself. It was amazing. And they had like a drone flying with him as he sang. It was crazy. And I thought, geez, later on when they introduced the jabs, I was like, oh, man, I hope he doesn't get one. He's a religious guy, and he's a very, very strong Christian. And I thought, I hope he knows about the fetal cell lines in these things, you know.
Yeah.
Some people don't, you know. They don't know. And so I thought, gee whiz, you know, these guys, they got to travel, especially him, internationally. So there are two things I wanted to ask you about. One is your thoughts about some of these musicians. And again, the jury's out. I don't know, you know, what he's experiencing.
Right.
I'm hoping it's not the jab. I'm hoping it's just, you know, travel, you know, and he'll get over super fast. He'll be fine. And I'm looking at it positively. I think he's going to be fine. There's power. This guy's great. He's awesome. And I'm looking at it, you know, God's there. And however it goes, it's cool. His family's there. They're going to do well. Everything's going to be okay. So it was just a little hiccup, I think. But it does get you to think, and you can't help it. And that's what bothers me. You know, what bothers me is it gets me thinking about the evil that these people, so many musicians suffered. So many people. You look at some of these people who fought, like Reverend Horton Heat, like Van Morrison, like Eric Clapton later, after he tried to get jabbed, and then he was ridiculed for actually expressing, I was hurt by this thing. I was hurt, you know?
Eric Clapton got the jab and a booster.
Yeah, right, exactly, mm-hmm. Right. And the stupid, ignorant ignoramuses out there speaking before they actually think, you know, or do any research. And these people's lives are spent on the road. And it makes me think, and so I'll sort of hand it over to you. When my father was really into big band swing, you know, he saw Benny Goodman. My dad saw Louis Armstrong. He saw these guys. He saw Gene Krupa playing drums. Yeah, he was there.
Gene Krupa? Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. My dad was right in it, you know.
The real Gene Krupa, not Salminio, but the real
The real Gene Krupa. Oh, yeah, big time. And my dad introduced me to Louis Belson's drumming. He played me drum boogie, and I'd never heard it before. And he didn't tell me that it was just one drummer. I thought it was two drummers. Huh. And he asked me what I thought afterwards. He goes, so what'd you think, Gard? And I was like, those two drummers, I love the way they were playing off. And he just started smiling. He goes, that's one guy. I'm like, what? And he told me about the double bass. Louis Belson invented double bass. And I was like, that's so cool. He did it at 17. He's like, yeah. It was great, you know. So he brought that with me to me. But, you know, he pointed out that after a while, when the economy started to sort of tail off in the late 60s and stuff like that, and the bands couldn't really afford it anymore, they had to pare down a lot of the bands. They went to quintets. They went to quartets. Benny Goodman did a great job with his quartet. And sort of the modern jazz came around. And you think about, you know, this picture on your site, you got Pat Benatar. She's still going strong.
Yeah.
People, I've been in convenience stores. People are like, oh, I just saw that Pat Benatar. She's unbelievable. Her voice
turned 70 and sings everything in the same key. I mean, amazing.
She's amazing. It's yep. Incredible. Incredible. So, Audi, I want to turn it to you. We look at these generations of people. They've got to travel for their lives.
Yeah.
You know, they spend so much time away from their homes. And, you know, to me, I like to give them respect because I know the sacrifices they make. And we'll talk about some of the sacrifices of international players trying to get into the U.S. in a minute.
Well, do you remember when Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, this was... during the whole trauma lockdown, when some people were just starting to perform again, Dave Mustaine called out the BS big time. I don't know if it was a viral video of him on stage.
Yep.
Basically, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was swearing. I remember. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely right.
Well, with the show that you went to last night, well, we do know that people who are jabbed are actually more likely to have recurring bouts with COVID. And one thing that I do know about COVID is it takes weeks sometimes for your voice to get back to peak level. Mm-hmm. I think I caught some variant, 7-8 months ago.
Yeah.
And I picked up my guitar to sing, and I noticed I was struggling just to hit basic notes, and I just thought, wow. Because, you know, when you go a while without singing, some, you know, you can be a little rusty, but then I realized it was whatever was going around, and now I'm back to normal. So I wonder if that's what's going on with Mr. Bocelli. You know, I hope that's the worst of it. You know?
Oh, well, if you don't mind, Audi, I'd love to bring you, offer you the opportunity, and we can talk about it off the air, but I'd love to bring you on as like a regular guest and talk about music, musicians, yeah, current breaking things and stuff, and attract people to modern retro radio, because it is so cool. And again, folks, it's modernretrofm.com, and stream it, put it on in the background. Audi, it's interesting you should bring that up just on the specifics of it, because I think I caught it from a member of the Zulus when we went to one of their reunion shows, who had been double jabbed. And a couple days after their show, I hugged him, and then I got in my car and I had an orange. And I asked my sister if she wanted a piece of orange. And she said, no, that's okay. She was driving. I was having the orange. And I put some, like, you know, silver stuff on my fingers to try to, you know, cleanse them, but I hadn't really gotten cleaned up. And a couple days later, he got online and he said, oh, I've come down with COVID. And sure enough, I started feeling really weird. Yeah. So I got, I went to Dr. Zelenko's site. I had some prednisone. I didn't have, she had gotten some ivermectin, but she gave it away or something because we had a miscommunication. I thought she still had it, so I was going to take it. She goes, oh, I gave it away. I was like, oh, shoot. So luckily I had prednisone left over. And, again, that's a massive anti-inflammatory. So I took that till I could get the ivermectin in. And I'm telling you, man, when I took that ivermectin, literally within like 3 hours, that was it. It was done.
I have heard people have remarkably quick recovery.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I can't believe I still don't have any of my own. I need to have some stash.
It's definitely worth getting, you know, the American frontline doctors or something. But there was a strange latent thing, as you mentioned, the latent stuff. First of all, I already have an elevated immune system, which I think is part of the problem with this mold stuff that I've been dealing with. I think it's the mold stuff, where my immune system, I had already taken hydroxychloroquine in the 90s, so I was familiar with the fact that it was an immunomodulator. But one of the things that I noticed, I haven't taken it for years, one of the things I noticed after I got done with the COVID thing was I had this long-term thing, my salivatory glands, I was salivating like crazy. And it was like, what is going on? It was really driving me nuts. I'd like bend over the cat. I have to keep swallowing. I love to sing to the cat, and I like to blow on the cat's ear. She likes that. And I would be like, I got to swallow again. This is ridiculous. And yeah. The exhaustion was just, I'm still dealing with the exhaustion stuff. It's a combination of the mold stuff, I think, and that. Yeah, it's been really, really weird. So, but, you know, Audie, I think about these people in rock and roll. And, you know, what they go through in their lives, being away from their kids. Some people take some time off. You look at Blondie with what, you know, Debbie Harry taking time off to help Chris Stein when he got pemphigus vulgaris.
Yeah.
Years that she didn't tour. All that time taken away. But she was devoted to helping him.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, it you start to understand the human qualities of these musicians. And it makes you want to support them more. You know what I mean?
She's on tour right now without Chris Stein.
Interesting.
I think it's a farewell tour. I'm not sure, but she's rocking harder than ever, and she's pushing 80.
Oh, it's amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And she's in amazing shape. It's like Mick. We're looking at new tickets to see the Stones again. Or the Who. Roger Daltrey. The guy's like he could go out and go boxing, you know?
There was a tour. Roger Daltrey's always kept in pretty good shape, but
yep.
He got in such great shape. This was maybe like 2015, 2016. He was going shirtless again or unbuttoning his shirt, and he was in his 70s or almost 70. I'm like, good man.
Holy
so I had smart. No excuse, you know. I recently have lost a little over 50 pounds my last relationship, I was in a relationship for 6.5 years, and all you do when you're in a relationship is eat, you know.
Yeah, true,
and
right.
And it's the same as when you lose weight as when you gain weight. You don't see yourself losing weight, or gaining weight. You just wake up one day and realize, whoa, I'm fat.
My belt is loose this time. What's going on?
The opposite has happened. So ever since I've been working from home full time for the last about a year, I do anywhere from 60 to 100 push-ups a day, and so I'm back to normal now. But I didn't even see it coming. I just woke up and realized it. It's weird.
And especially after doing the COVID thing, like I said, if you get low on the energies, you really got to focus. You know, I go on the exercise bike every other day. I try to do at least 26 pull-ups every day. Sometimes I double that, and I'll go towards 50. It's just what I do. And it's one of these ways, you know, you show nobility in, you know, pushing that rock and getting it back up to the top of the hill. There is nobility in that. Let me ask you, Audie, for people who are new to finding out about Modern Retro Radio, first of all, I want to mention how they can find you again, and then mention some of the facets in just a bit of what is featured at the website, which I think is super cool, and I want to keep promoting it because, you know, there are... Oh, what's that?
It's a very basic format. Most of the artists, all heard of.
Let me just ask you, what got you interested in doing this? Because it distinguishes itself from, you know, other websites that are just, you know, you click on it and the stuff is going to get served up to you based on algorithms. This is coming from a guy. This is a guy who loves music. You are like a Rick Beato level guy. You are like the professor of rock type guy. You're one of those guys, you know? Like Matt Pinfield from out in LA. I follow Matt on Twitter.
Oh, a DJ, an encyclopedia.
Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing, you know? So let's show the website. I'll show the website off a little bit here. Tell us what inspired you to start modernretrofm.com.
It started from years and years and years of hair-pulling frustration of being a huge fan of solo Paul McCartney. and just watching album after album after album after album of his be completely ignored by radio. What happened was, you know, Wings, they were big, and then they broke up in the early 80s. Paul had a lot of success, you know, the Stevie Wonder duets and the Michael Jackson duets and all that. Those were huge, but he didn't tour in the 80s. And his last two big hit singles were both soundtrack songs, Spies Like Us and No More Lonely Nights from a movie he made that really flopped.
Mm.
But something happened after Spies Like Us. FM radio just stopped playing him. And that was the time that I started getting into him. And Paul McCartney's best albums are definitely the late 80s and throughout the 90s and the 2000s. But
so, the songwriting's incredible. You just hear him on the piano, and you're like, and he doesn't even read music.
You don't have to read music to play.
No.
You just have to know the names of the chords and have a decent ear.
Yeah.
It's going to sound like, what I'm about to say is going to sound like an overstatement, but he put out an album under his pseudonym called The Fireman in 2008, and I am telling you, it is the Sgt. Pepper of his Pulse Beatles career.
Wow.
You heard it here. The album's called Electric Arguments, okay?
Yeah.
Check it out. And he did three Fireman albums, and that was the one that just, the inspiration, the philosophy behind the Fireman is he doesn't have to be Paul McCartney. He can
right.
be another guy. So he
right.
can do what he wants. And it just turned out to be such a strong album.
May
so,
I ask you, Audie,
yeah.
I had a really good conversation with Youth of Killing Joke.
That's his
back.
Partner, and that's his. He produces him for
yep.
The Fireman.
That's exactly what I wanted to mention, because, of course, Youth won a Grammy for producing The Verve's Bittersweet Symphony, and I'm just hanging out. Youth is smoking a spliff out in front of the Paradise Rock Club. I was talking with Jazz, and it was the second time that Jazz and I had met, and we just picked up our conversation from before, and it was so much fun. It was the afternoon. They had done their sound check, and they were just hanging around. It was a beautiful afternoon, nice and sunny and warm, and Youth had some of his artwork out there,
yeah.
And he was just sitting there smoking a joint, and so I started talking to Youth, and Youth was the one who told me, I said to him, oh, yeah, you know, Youth, Jazz told us about how you guys were squatting in that house when you first started in Ladbroke Grove. You just were living in an empty house. And he told me about how the Clash was on the first floor and you guys were on the second floor. And, you know, how Joe Strummer got the electrics going and you just lived there. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. He goes, we got really lucky because it was such a bad economy. There were all these empty buildings and we were all on the dole. So we could, you know, live in these places, and then we could go out and try to gig, and that was just enough money to get by. And I was like, wow, that's really wild. And then he said, he didn't tell you who was on the third floor? And I was like, no, I didn't know there was a third floor. He goes, oh, yeah, that was Motorhead. I'm like, what? And I even said, has anybody approached you to do a movie about this or a TV series? He goes, no, but that's a pretty good idea. And then we started talking about the Paul McCartney stuff. And I was like, I didn't know you worked with Paul McCartney. He goes, oh, yeah, 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 he's great. He's a really nice guy. And it was nice to see. Again, it's that personal
touch.
Yeah,
they did three Fireman albums. The first one was in 93, one in 98, and then 2008.
We've got to fly. Thanks to ModernRetroFM.com and Audi, and thanks to you for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.